Are you ready to take your writing to the next level? Then welcome to the Book Editor Show. Join Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley each week as they teach you all the tips, tools, and techniques you need to move your book from manuscript to market. Visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books, and extras to make your old novel better than ever. Now, please welcome Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley.
Welcome to the Book Editor Show. I'm Clark Chamberlain, and you're not going to believe this. That's right. The man, the myth, the legend, my friend, Peter Turley, in the digital flesh, right here with us.
Digital flesh. Something so wrong about that.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you to just freestyle an intro then, but you know, it was all right.
This is okay. I know it's not as epic, and especially now that you are so much more educated coming back, the graduation, like you need a more epic.
Down the mountain.
I know.
Oh, what a mountain.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's fantastic to be back here with you, Peter, and to be doing the show again. I've really missed this a lot. Sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I think not just because obviously I like talking to you, Clark, but sometimes we don't get a lot of time to reflect on our own practice as like writers or editors, or even just time to reflect on anything, especially these days. But, you know, it always provided me that time, you know, to just kind of think about where I'm up to, what I'm doing. And, you know, so selfishly, I enjoyed doing it for all those selfish reasons. So well, sorry, guys.
I did too. You know, like it, and it's been really interesting because the show has not officially been on the air for quite some time. And it's actually just 2 days ago, someone posted on one of our, you know, earlier YouTube videos. Just they're grateful for the information. And I was interviewing an assistant 2 days ago, and she's like, you guys are the only podcast that I'm still listening to from the past because of the information, because it's easy to understand and it really actually delivers something that I can use.
Yeah. I mean, man, that and I think that's like a huge motivation. I know for me, and I think also for you in coming back. I mean, obviously I think we realize we've just got so much to say and so much we want to do. But whenever we get those comments and we hear that, you know, everyone's enjoying it and finding some value in it, then, you know, that just motivates us so much more to, you know, to keep putting this stuff out there. I mean, I had contact with someone recently, so shout out if you're listening, you know who you are, who messaged looking for like a few words of advice on something they're working on. And they'd messaged about a year and a half ago listening to the show. And it's just great to know that, you know, like something like this is having an impact. I think there's nothing worse than if you ever have that moment where you think, you know, am I just saying the same thing in a different way? And I think it's the equivalent of sticking the manuscript in the drawer, isn't it? You know, you get a bit of time to sort of, you know, grow, improve, and then repackage like your new message in a new way, and not just sort of say the same things over and over. And if you have to have some time away to do that, then, you know, I'd much rather do that than have what, like 100 extra shows that were repeating themselves.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because the,
man, we're getting honest here, aren't we?
I know. We are. Cause I know exactly what you feel. It really is, you know, that's what we want to do. We had, it was 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we sat down and had a conversation about where we'd want the show to go and what we want to do. And we don't want this to be exactly the same as we were doing before. You know, we've both grown as writers and as communicators. And one of the things we want to do is to put these shows together in a way, we're going to call them seasons, where we're delivering content that's not the same, but is a series of content. So like, if we had a season, this season, it's all about dialogue, or this season is all about editing for character development or something like that. Those are just examples. Or poetry, that's one of the ones that you want to do. And so you can come into the Book Editor Show and be able to get information that you're looking for on that subject in very easy way to find it. And hopefully that it's not going to become the same old thing over and over again. Because we want to keep people coming back, or when they're ready to move forward in that next step of their writing, to dive in and say, what was that season that had that information I'm looking for now?
Yeah. And I think as well, that's, I just want to say that, you know, that that has come from kind of listening to us, listening to everyone out there that's listening to us, you know, because we've had comments like about how much we talk about, say, fantasy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're guilty of that and we don't really care because we love it. But no, we do care. And, you know, and I think that is part of it, that, you know, we want to, you know, there is a world of genres out there that we want to tackle, you know, and we want to please, you know, the audience that we've built so far. And we do take things on board and we do sit down and chat about where it's going to head. But this, I think the series is one of the best things that's going to come, and just make it easier for everyone listening. You know, you're not sort of hunting through for something that's relevant to you. You know, you'll be able to find what it is pretty easy, and hopefully there'll be like a hefty chunk of content there for you to consume at your pleasure.
Yes. And you're thinking, well, so let's say when this particular season comes along, I have no interest in it. So what am I going to listen to the show? Well, guess what? We've figured that out too. So we're going to have the show divided into some simple segments. We're getting another segment producer to come on that will also be available to co-host if Peter or myself is unavailable in a particular week, and that they'll be providing information. And one of the other things we really want to do is talk about the writing life. You know, at the beginning of every show, we're just, you know, talk about what this whole process is like, especially I think in one way to help normalize what other people are going through, especially as they're trying to move to the full-time position of writer.
Yeah, I think the struggle is something, you know, we don't talk about enough. And when you're trying to improve, you're trying to improve your writing, you're trying to improve editing, you're trying to improve in life, and you're trying to make all these different things work together. And I think that struggle needs to be addressed. You know, how are you finding the time to fit these in? What sacrifices are being made? And what can you do to lessen those sacrifices? And just make the progress you want to make, and have the impact that you want to have without that journey having a negative impact. It should be a good thing, you know, pursuing your hobby and your dreams and the things that you care about.
Because we've both been through all of this, you know, and I think we'll talk about this in a moment, but of what we've actually been both going through. But yeah, this is real, and it's not the easiest thing to do. And you've got to be in a place where you feel that this is the thing that's bringing you joy, because it's not always going to bring you happiness. Like, there are days when you're not going to have happiness come from the writing life, but if it's bringing you joy because it's the contentment you find in the thing that is that you feel like you've been put on this world, this is your purpose to do this thing. I mean, that's where I've been at, that I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be writing. I'm supposed to be helping people understand how to do this better. And that brings me a considerable amount of joy, even though it's really, really tiring. It's tiring. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's another thing that's become really important to me, is like having an honest conversation with yourself and deciding what it is that you're really wanting to do, because it's so easy to get sidetracked. If writing is your thing and that's all you want to do is just do the writing, it can be really easy in this current marketplace to get sidetracked on a whole bunch of other things. And all of a sudden you're like, I'm not writing anymore. Well, you need to recheck, have that honest conversation with yourself, and then come back and decide, well, how do I want to reincorporate this into my life? Where can I, you know, can I trust myself that doing this is going to land me the results that I'm after? Because I think that's where we kind of get in that divide. You know, where we get pulled in other different directions because we're a little bit scared about where we're at with the main goal.
We're complicated, and life's complicated, and you know, we shouldn't try to pretend it isn't. So yeah, just acknowledging the struggle and these things that we all face.
Oh, so got some big news. Like, big things have happened in your life. Good stuff.
Yeah, I finished my English literature and creative writing degree, which I mainly pursued as a personal goal. Kind of when we started the show, I decided, you know, I want to take this as far as I can take it. You know, I want to know as much as I can and be as valuable to the people that were asking for my help as I could be. And then that led on to a master's degree in also in creative writing, which I've just finished. So I'm really happy with that. And I will be looking to hopefully, don't want to jinx anything, not that I'm superstitious, but move into sort of doing a PhD in it.
Dr. Turley.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Dr. Turley has a good
I might need an outfit too.
No, you know, and that's why we had to start the show again, because I've realized you had committed so much to all this education and there was no show to showcase you.
Yeah.
Bringing us back.
but no, it's you know, it's been a journey. You know, I went down to London to read a poem at an event that involved, I think it was 8 of the universities from around the country. And then subsequently had that piece published in the Leeds Journal of Human Rights, which was awesome. It was a collaborative effort, which was just really interesting. Like, I really hadn't done much collaboration, and I really want to talk about this in a future episode. But you know, the challenges of working with someone else and producing a cohesive piece that spoke for both of your voices was amazing. And I was pretty proud of what we did. And I just think, I'm not going to say anything cheesy like collaboration is the way forward or any crap like that, but you can learn a lot from it. You know, a lot of humility, and patience. You can learn, you know, about your own style, about other people's styles. And I guess it felt like it worked in the same way that translation did, you know, where, you know, like translation's kind of an art where, you know, can you ever get an accurate translation? You've got to do the original piece justice. You know, you have to kind of do each other justice, but accept that the final piece probably isn't going to reflect either of you in the entirety. And it's going to be a new thing that reflects the collaboration. And that was just amazing. It was amazing to do something like that. But definitely want to talk about that in the future. So it just feels good to sort of have, it feels amazing to have some really useful experiences to go forward and to talk about for everyone.
Well, and first of all, just huge congratulations. I mean, the amount of effort that you've put into this and to move forward with, that's not easy. That's not easy to do that. And you should just be applauded just for being able to get all of that done. And then on top of that, I just think the poetry is just awesome that you're able to do that.
Yeah, it didn't come as a complete surprise because, I mean, I had written it before. I was interested in it. I like to do it, and it was always a way of it's kind of akin to, say, journaling. You know, I would write what I felt like I needed to say just because I needed to say it. But the more I sort of studied it over the sort of 3-year degree, the more it just, I was reading works that spoke to me. I was finding new ways to say what I wanted to say. So then I focused for the last year for the master's entirely on poetry, and just drowned myself in it, basically, for want of a better word. That's a really bad word, drown. No. Yeah. And it's really something I'm interested in moving forward. So, you know, let us know as well. I mean, I don't think we've heard from any sort of poets in the past. You know, are there any listening to this? Do you have any, you know, editing problems or questions? Is there anything you want to write? Are there fiction writers out there that dabble in it? You know, this is what I'm saying. You don't have to be all of one thing and none of another. You know, all I'm sort of saying here is if there are things other than fantasy that you want us to talk about, let us know, because we really care. No.
We do really care. So.
Yeah, we do. We do.
We do. And but we want to make sure that we're delivering good content to you listeners and being able to give you shows that you want to hear about. When we're talking about these season ideas, you know, like what are ones that you want to hit? What do you feel in the marketplace, you know, that you go on and you can't find a good book on this particular subject, or you wish you could find something that has more on that. And yeah, we want to hear about that so we can deliver you guys the best stuff that we possibly can.
Yeah, I certainly want to have like an interactive element going forward, you know, not just there's just this didactic approach where we're like, this is what we think of everything, take it. Yeah. let us know, and you know, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean totally smash it and give you the best advice you ever had, but you know, whatever. You don't want that, you don't need it, you can leave it.
Oh, I've been wanting to write that article for a while now. Why you're not going to succeed at writing. Like,
yeah, that's great advice for the first podcast.
It is. And it's a little clickbaity, I guess, but you know, like, getting people upset about that thing, but like, seriously, there's,
I mean, I want to click it. That's fine.
Yeah, you know? I know. But there's certainly a lot of, it takes a lot to write. It really does. And it takes a lot to succeed. And some people, you know, they're just never going to be able to do that because they can't get that life in the right balances and in the right spot and really commit to continue to do what it is that they want to do. And that makes me sad, because if writing is what you want to do, then you need to figure everything out in order to do it. Or if being an editor, because I know now that their editors listen to the show as well, which is something, yeah, oddly enough, you know, if editing is your thing, like, you need to figure out how to do this and commit and to go all in with what it is you're trying to do, because life is too fucking short. Mm-hmm. Life is too short to mess around going after other stuff that you don't care about.
Yeah. I'm regretting half of my life decisions right now. Thanks, Pat.
You're welcome. We're supposed to regret the first half and then try to figure it out for the second.
Yeah. See, even when you say that, I believe you.
Yeah.
You
know? So it's just kind of that natural thing, because we get so programmed in on everything we did when we were growing up, listening to everybody else, not listening to ourselves. And it really becomes that second half. When you finally say, well, enough, like, I don't have enough time left and I need to start living for myself for a while. And that's not a selfish thing.
Is this something you need to tell us?
Yes, I need to. This is stuff that I really am. I'm passionate about it. You know, and we talked about that on the thing, like, I am passionate about this type of stuff, and I don't want to discourage you. I actually want to encourage. That's what I'm trying to do here. Maybe it's coming off all wrong.
I feel an equal mix of encouragement and discouragement. They kind of cancel each other out, and I just kind of feel nothing.
So that's all right.
No, but yeah, and as well, you know, the whole thing with sort of creating content like this is it's got to be actionable, hasn't it? Like you say, you know, you don't want to get stuck in that rut where you're just listening to shows telling you, like, you know, lighting that fire under you where you feel, yeah, I can do this, I believe it, and then you don't do it. And you know, it's about outlining the steps that you're going to take to slowly increase the part writing or editing plays in your life. And it is, you know, it probably going to be a long process where, you know, it plays a bigger part and a bigger part. You know, not everyone has like overnight success. And that's totally cool. So apart from us, but yeah. You know, we're the exception.
We are the exception on that.
Man, it's, I mean, when did we do our first show?
So it's clear back in, was it 2014?
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a while. Cause it's been a day and it's
been a long day.
Yeah. And it took us a long time to start developing an audience. And then, you know, then life happens and things change. And all of a sudden it's 2019, almost 2020. And you're like, well, okay, well, let's get serious about what's going on now. Cause you're right. Like, I think, and I don't know, maybe it's because of how easy it is to publish today. Maybe it's because that there was that Kindle gold rush way back, you know, in 2009 through 11. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe it's people wanting to find passive income, or maybe they're whatever. A lot of people are looking for the easy button with writing. You know, they're looking for that. That's just going to happen overnight. This is going to be done. Anything that you're going to do, right. Anything you're going to do well it takes effort.
50 Shades of Grey of the World. And,
right.
But I mean, even, you know, even tales like that, when, you know, if you look deeper than the surface, you know, they've all worked harder than, you know, than you might think. If writing keeps showing up in your life, you know, and for us, it's, you know, if something like this, you know, if that drive doesn't go away, then there's got to come a point where you take it seriously, mm-hmm. and you say, I'm gonna honor that feeling, because that kind of regret is nobody wants that.
Nobody does. Nobody does. And, you know, if it's going to take time, then you should be pursuing where the direction it is that you'd really most like to go. You know, if you really actually want to have the agent and be at the big publishing house and have someone else do all the stuff for you, then spend the time getting the agent. You know, don't spend the time learning how to be an indie publisher and learn how to run Kindle ads and all this type of different Amazon ads and everything.
Oh, yeah, because they're two different worlds, man.
They're way two different worlds.
Nothing wrong with learning both of them, but yeah, I mean, I think you're so right. You know, start with your goal and work backwards from there. Know what it is that you're chasing.
You waste a lot of time if you're going the wrong direction, even if you think it's kind of the same thing. But and the reason why all this is so important to me and is because this last few years, you know, like everything fell apart for me, and. You know, a lot of it's my fault because I'm too proud. I think I can do more than I can. I'm not getting the help that I need early enough. You know, it was just 2 months ago that I was in my car for almost a year, living in my car.
That's that is a feat. I can't even, you know, usually someone will tell a story like this. And you know, they'll say, you know, you hear all the time, oh, I overcame this adversity and it led to this. But I mean, this what you're hopefully about to tell us now is a real story. And I mean, a year, you know, usually you might hear a week, you might hear a month. But I mean, a year, what was that like?
So, you know, like when it all started so back in 2015, like we were doing the show and I took that time to go and I had that military training for a month. And I got injured over there and had another TBI. And I started feeling instantly like there was things that were changing. But I had a lot of drive and I was in a good place and I was starting to make good contacts. And, you know, and I just kind of rode it out. But then things got worse and worse until, you know, like I'm losing clients, I'm losing jobs. I'm not able to focus. I can't even read the page for longer than 20 minutes because words start jumping all over the place on me. And pretty soon, you know, it's a year has gone by and I'm out of, you know, I haven't really done anything for work for most of 2018. And they're knocking on the door to come and kick me out of the house, you know, because I just am not having the ability to pay. So I lose the place, I sell it all, move into my car, and it sucks. And I pretty much had given up at that point. I was like, I'm never going to be able to do this thing that I wanted to do with the writing and moving forward. And, I felt really sad for myself. You know, I really felt bad.
That's the dark night of the soul right there.
Yeah. Right. And I really, you know, I started blaming everybody else. I started blaming everything else. It certainly wasn't my problem. Right. You know, like this must have been caused by something else and someone else. And I know that I've talked about this in the past years before this had happened, you know, about cutting out negativity, even if it's people. Well, I got cut out. I got cut out of some people's lives. And that still hadn't been the wake-up call. And it was actually...
Sorry about that, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I had to... didn't hear from Peter. So honestly, it was November of last year, and I'd just been in the car for a couple of months. And Elise, she was my first editor on Another Day, Another Name. And we have a very close relationship, and she was going to be in a town that I was close to. And so we met up, and I was so excited to be able to have someone listen to me, right? Listen to all the stuff I've been going through. And she like verbally slapped me. she's like, stop it. Like, just like literally just stop. You're not this person. Like, I don't know who you are right now. You know, like you've never been this way. And So I've got this. She wrote me this note after we're done, and she said, Mark Chamberlain, quote, I will stop being sad, stop feeling weak, stop eating shit, and love myself like I always have, because to forget equals death.
Wow. That's powerful. Yeah. That's an affirmation right there.
Yeah.
Can I have that book? And even
I'll,
the clock.
I'll put the quote. Yep. And you can put it in yours. I keep it in my wallet here. So I see it all the time. And so at that moment I decided, you know what? She's right. Like I'd just been wasting all this time feeling sorry for myself, and started to get additional help. I was lucky enough, another writer, also a veteran down in Texas, got me connected with a TBI clinic down there, which gave me the right start. And then finally got into the right programs with the Veterans Administration in Utah. So I came back up to where I'm, you know, currently at here in Idaho, and got help, you know, like I have, my eyes are off in direction. And so they got me prism glass lenses to bend light so I can actually read now. Did speech therapy, you know, some physical therapy to get things back on track. And, you know, everything is not perfect, but things are moving in the right direction finally. And if I had gotten the help I needed in 2015, you know, but that's something you can't change.
Yeah, that's a big if, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. And this is where I needed to be, because this brought me all back to here. And I know this is where I belong, and I know this is what I want to do. And I don't want to see anyone else have to go through something like that. Yeah. You know, on the side of down in Texas really sucked, sleeping in the car. That was scary stuff. Lots of noise all night long, didn't sleep very well. And so in case you're wondering how I took care of myself. So I slept in the car. I got a membership to Planet Fitness, because they have one pretty much everywhere across the country. Sponsor. And and I used the showers there so I could get cleaned up and go do what I needed to do. But yeah, like it's certainly not easy. It's not an easy way to do it. But something that actually hit me later, like month four, you're like, oh, well, this is kind of just my life now. So it's really easy to stay in a crappy place because you become used to it, right?
Yeah, it's that analogy of the frog, isn't it? Have you heard that one? The frog in the boiling water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you're turning that water up slowly and boil it to death because it doesn't get out of there.
And you can normalize the craziest things, can't you? Like if it persists long enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are so good at being in terrible places. We adapt. We adapt. Relationships, jobs, you know, living locations, all that stuff. We just accept it after a while. And you have to have those moments where someone like slaps you back out of it. And hey, remember who you are. Like, remember this. And it's some tough stuff to go through. But
And now you're firmly qualified to slap everyone else out of that place.
Well, you know, and I think with some people, like if you're already predisposed to blaming everybody else and feeling sorry for yourself, I couldn't slap you out of that. Like you know, like you've got to slap yourself out of that first. Like you have to have at some point in your life a core belief that you actually are worth something, and you are worth something. Like we are all worth something. But we have to believe it. And then we can rehear it.
And I think it means so much hearing you say that as well, because, you know, you're not just trying to like fluff people up for no reason. You've come back to this now, and you've come back as that person that's been through that. And, you know, in a way, I mean, it's easy for me to say this, but I mean, you could make an argument that, you know, that could be more valuable than, you know, say none of that happening, having stuck at this and, or whatever. And, you know, I mean, I can already see sort of like, just the value in these things that you're saying just right now to me, for other people hearing this. And I think, even just an example that you can get through that, you don't have to stay there, and you know, and that you can find yourself again and that you were there all along. You know, that light, whatever it was, didn't go out. It wasn't beaten. And, you know, whether it's, you know, some kind words from a friend or, you know, a moment of introspection or just hitting that point that's so low that you can't go any lower, you know, whatever it is. I think it's, if you stick at it, it's inevitable that that moment will come, and at least it's worth knowing that it's out there, yeah. You know, waiting to be had.
Yeah, it is. And it's, and it can take time. Like, and that's part of it, you know, like you can't, again, overnight success, overnight ending the problem that you're in, you know, like it's not going to happen overnight. It does take time, but you have to know that it will change. Everything changes. And if you pursue what it is that you care about long enough, you will find it. If you're not bouncing around looking for magic bullets, you know, to solve the problem, you know, easy buttons, that kind of stuff, you really start to look at what you care about and where you're at. And this is in all aspects of your life, with your work, with your personal life, with your health, with anything that's worth pursuing in your life. If you will stick with it, you can get through it, right? You know, like, again, going back to the joy thing, like if it's something that I can do that I really feel committed to, right? You know, like I can be me, and I would rather be me any day of the week.
Oh, Matt, yeah. You know, that is so true. This is what I missed about the podcast, you know, having these, I'm going to forget what I was going to say, having these moments of these light bulb moments just for myself. We quite often sort of think, I will enjoy this when I get to this point, you know, when I'm not going to allow myself to enjoy it until I'm this good or until this thing has happened, and miss like half of the journey. And I know that can seriously sound like, oh, look, none of us are going to succeed for a long time, if ever. So, you know, try and have some fun along the way, because la-di-da. But it's really, really true, because, you know, no matter what you're trying to achieve, you'll never really feel like you've achieved it. And then when you do look back, it is those moments where you perhaps like overcame yourself to break through a wall or a particular barrier that did mean something. And it's recognizing that you are all along, and have fun doing that. And, you know, still worry about the goals, and still that's where that's what's driving it all. But, it really is important that it isn't just about that. And I know that totally sounds like some panacea for unfulfilled ambition, but I really don't think it is. I think that always in everything, I'm going there, that's bold, we will look back and recognize that it was the entire journey that was meaningful.
Yeah, it really is. Like it absolutely is getting the most out of your daily life, getting the most out of every breath that you're living. And I'm not talking about going out and doing extreme sports or something like that. Like people get a weird idea, right? Like what it means to live. Having this conversation right now is a highlight of my day right here, right now. And it's,
I mean, I had two chocolate bars today. That was two pretty good moments right there. But this is a close third.
I wasn't asking you to return it to me. This can be just about this, Peter.
Okay, go on. I'll receive it.
But, you know, like, that's what it is. It's like identifying those things, getting to do the things that you want. And, again, if you are driving, if you are continuing to push forward in the thing it is that you want, you will gain success. Like, go for what it is that you're going for. But figure out what that means. Have a real honest, honest assessment of what that means. So for me, like honestly, in 10 years from now, I want to be the name. When people talk about story editing and talk about understanding story, I want to be the name that comes up first. Like that's where I want to be. That's what I want to be known for. I want to be known as a person who can go in and explain a story and help someone rework a story in a way, you know, that they couldn't have done anywhere else. Like I want to be that industry expert there. Mm. That's what I'm shooting for. So
yeah, man, you're gonna have to start wearing your underwear outside your pants, totally. Get to that. You know, I can see it already. Uh-huh. Swooping in through the window.
So underpants out. Now that's all I can think about. I'm like, I'm going to have to get the colored ones and they're going to have to be the brief style because the boxer shorts won't look right.
I've given you ideas now, haven't I?
I know.
Oh, no, it's got to be briefs. Yeah, it's got
to
be
right. It has to be. Then it just doesn't look right. Then you just look like an idiot who's wearing underpants on his regular pants. So now let's...
That's an admirable goal, though.
I think so. And I think, you know, that, you know, if you're not trying to become better, right? Like, you got to have some targets. You do have to have some targets. I want to become better than, I want to be as best as that, you know, that kind of stuff. That's important. Like, you do need to have those.
Well, I've just noticed with all this underpants outside the pants talk, I'm standing with my hands on my hips. I've adopted a superhero pose subconsciously. Story superhero. That's it. Yeah, you gotta see the chest.
Chest out.
Get but the chest can't be too big because obviously we spend our time writing.
Yep.
I think that's a good place to wrap things up. Peter, thanks so much for joining me today. It's just awesome to be back here with you. And listeners, really appreciate it. Love you. Thanks so much for sticking with us. And don't forget to come back next week as we're starting our new season and we're going to be taking on the major elements of fiction, explaining what they are, how to use them, and most importantly, how to edit them to make your best possible story. For Peter Turley, I'm Clark Chamberlain. Keep writing, keep learning, and build a better book.
Thank you for listening, and come back next week for more. Please visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books and extras, and for information on how to be a guest on the show.